This is another episode of Connecting the Dots podcast. I'm Skip Stewart, Vice President and Chief Improvement Officer at Baptist Memorial Healthcare. Well, today we are so excited. We are getting ready to launch a four-part series, and we're calling this series People Relationship Skills to Lead. People Relationship Skills to Lead. And specifically, what we're going to talk about in this series is TWI, Training Within Industry, Job Relations. Now, there's three parts or three legs to the TWI stool, TWI Job Instructions, TWI Job Methods. But what we're going to be talking over the next four series is TWI Job Relations. I always like to say it's the best way I know to operationalize respect for every individual. But the conversation today in the next couple series for four altogether, it'll be me and a good friend, Hugh Alley, and we're going to kind of have this conversation about TWI Job Relations. But before we jump right into that, Hugh, if you would, introduce yourself, tell us a little bit about yourself, and I know you've written some books, and tell us a little more about where did this whole TWI thing come from?
Skip, it's so great to be with you today. And so looking forward to the series. I am an author and a consultant. I've run four different operations along the way. But I have to tell you, Skip, when I took on my first leadership role, I was a really bad leader. So bad that my people wouldn't tell me how bad I was. And you know, I struggled through that. And it was only when I took on my second role that I got exposed to training within industry by our mutual friend, Tracy Defoe. And it made such a difference to my ability to lead, my ability to foster performance and change in the organization that I was leading. And I have seen that over and over and over again. I was so impressed by that, that when it was time for me to leave that organization, I started training people full-time using those skills. And it's led me to write two different books about TWI and training. And one is a story about how a leader coaches a young supervisor to learn the skills. And the other is more a practitioner's hand guide called the TWI Memory Jogger. Anyway, they were fun to write. I hope they're being helpful to some people. That's kind of my background, and I spend most of my time now either training frontline leaders in these skills or coaching senior operations people, usually using something called Toyota Kata. And I know you've chatted with many of our mutual friends about that on past podcasts.
Well, yeah, we are very active in the improvement Kata, coaching Kata world. And specifically, we're going to talk about TWI job relations over the next four series. But once again, TWI, I tend to take for granted that people know about it, but that's probably not a good thing to do. We know it stands for training within industry, but tell us a little bit about where it came from.
It has a great origin story, Skip. Just before the Second World War, the folks who were concerned about labor and, you know, having enough manpower looked around and realized that they were going to have a problem because the training time for some of the really important skills was just too long. Like lens grinders, the standard training process for a lens grinder in 1939 took 5 years, and the guys that were looking around, sitting at the table looking at each other, said, if it takes that long to get the next one, war's going to be over and we're not going to be on the winning side. So we have to do something differently. So they worked very hard. And over the next 6 months, put together what became job instruction, and they got the training time for lens grinder down to 5 months, which is not a bad improvement. And they continued to refine that using the same model. I heard of some companies that could actually train a lens grinder in a week, 5 days, down from 5 years. That's pretty awesome. And I've seen not that much, but I've seen the same in clients of mine. So that was the first piece, was how do we teach skills to people? Because let's face it, a lot of the people that were coming into the factories at the start of the war had never been in a factory before. Many people, like women that had never been in factories before, and large numbers of African Americans, blacks, who had never been in factories before. We were brought into these factories. And how are we going to teach them those skills? So that was the first piece. And then the second part that hit them was, wait a minute, not only do we not have the skills, we don't have supervisors, because so many of them have enlisted. And so they built this program called Job Relations that was designed to help these new people carry out their job as supervisor, to deal with the performance issues, to encourage and build performance in their organizations. And they identified both the four foundations that we're going to talk about today, and they put together a program for how do we deal with a problem when it does arise. And we'll talk about that more in the later episodes. But that's the basic background. And there's lots more detail, and history buffs can search it out. But that really is what brought us, what we're working from today.
Very helpful, Hugh, very helpful. So for those out there that are interested, there's TWI Job Instructions, TWI Job Methods, and then TWI Job Relations. And TWI Job Relations that we'll be talking about over the next four series is still actively used, not only at organizations like Baptist Memorial Healthcare, where we train our senior leaders at our hospitals, and then we start to move down. We start with the senior leaders first. And every single time that we do a workshop and we do the training, that we will hear something like, I wish I would have had this 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago. Because most people realize that in most industries, someone is a good nurse or a good lab technician, and then all of a sudden they wake up one day and now they're a manager, and they don't really have the skills to deal with those people issues. And So in TWI Job Relations, like you said, Hugh, there's two sides of this little yellow card that we're given. And one is how to deal with a problem, how to deal with a people problem, and in a very respectful, objective way versus an emotional, reactive way. But we're not going to talk about that today. What we're going to talk about is the other side, these things called foundations for good relations. And those are things that we do to prevent problems to begin with. Now, are they a magic wand? No. But they're fundamental things. We may even call them blocking and tackling. But they're fundamental things that if we were to do those, we can avoid problems. Now, and we're going to talk today about how do we practice, because that's where skill is developed, in practicing. Everything within our Baptist Management System, which is our improvement system, is based on skill acquisition. So I'll kind of hit the foundations very quickly. The first one is let each worker know how he or she is doing. Let each worker know how he or she is doing. The second one is give credit when due. Give credit when due. The third is tell people in advance about changes that will affect them. So tell people in advance about changes that will affect them. And then the final and the fourth one is make best use of each person's ability. Now, I'm not going to go into the detail. You can get that in a workshop, but let's start to talk about that, Hugh. When you think about those four foundations and you think about the subject of practicing them, what comes to your mind based on your experience?
What I see, Skip, is that you need to present it for people as small things that they can try, because people are learning these new things, and it's often surprising to them. So if we take Letty Twerker, know how he or she is getting along. So what does that look like? And I know you've probably run into it too, that you get people who say, why should I tell people how they're getting along? If there's a problem, I'll tell them. But you know, you think about anybody who's played any kind of sports, they want to know their stats. You know, I'm from Canada, hockey country. What's my plus minus number, right? How many goals were scored against while I was on the ice versus how many goals we scored? I'm sure in football there'd be something similar, that if you're a linebacker, you want to know your stats. You want to know, was it a good tackle or not? And you think about all the professional coaches or professional sports people who have coaches, right, telling them all the details of how they've done. And so our people, our employees are just the same. They love to know how they're doing, good and bad, so that they can do better. So I remember working with a group of supervisors, and I said, here's the thing I want you to practice. Today, after the session, sometime today, I want you to find somebody who's doing something good or bad, and let them know in a very straightforward way what you observed, and thank them for their work. And they said, really? You're asking me to do that? I said, yeah, look, how long is it going to take? Take you a minute. They came back to the next session. They were so excited, Skip, by the reaction their employees had given them, that they were noticed, that you had noticed their work, and the smiles they got. It was amazing.
Yeah, it's so encouraging. You know, we've all heard, you don't have to think very far back when we've heard somebody say, so how's your job going? And you overhear someone else say, well, I don't know. No one's ever told me. And how discouraging is that for someone to have that type of leader, right? We learn in TWI job relations that leaders have followers. I can think of many people that I have followed, but I do not report to them. So just because you have people reporting to you doesn't make you a leader. And I think that principle of let each worker know how he or she is doing is just so important. It can be, and it doesn't have to be this really big thing. And I think about in healthcare, there's so many opportunities. You know, we do a lot of rounding, nurse leader rounding. Yeah. There's a lot of walking the floors, going to the Gemba. Every single time, instead of it being what I like to call a howdy walk, where you're just waving, you have an opportunity to provide encouragement, or you have an opportunity to provide correction, right? And if you're doing that on a regular basis, many times it's going to be relatively small. It's only big when you choose not to deal with it. One way to think about it is, it's like a little fire. If I start a little fire and I choose to ignore it, there's a good chance that thing is going to get really big over time. If I stomp it out, or if I deal with it while it's still small, it's not that big of a deal. But I think about in healthcare, the natural routines, the natural rhythms, whether that be a monthly or a weekly meeting, or whether that be rounding, there's these natural settings where you have the opportunity in a very respectful way to let someone know, hey, Hugh, I just wanted you to know I saw you doing this. Great job. Or, hey, Hugh, I saw this right here going on. Let me talk to you about kind of what our standard is and how we might do that a little different, right?
You're so right, Skip, about noticing the small stuff. I mean, think about somebody leading rounds. Just to make the comment, gosh, this chart entry is really well written and legible. What have you just done? You've reinforced what was in that charting process. So all of a sudden, the person who wrote that feels great, and you're doing rounds. So there's a bunch of other people who hear that that's being noticed, and the impact is huge.
That's exactly right. So now we move to the second one, and I cannot not think of a chaplain that we have in our system. The next one is give credit when due. And we have a chaplain that for the last 2 years, every year on the average, he has written 300 per year thank you cards to somebody.
And that's awesome.
These individuals, when they get these thank you cards, tears come to their eyes. They put them up on their refrigerators. I mean, it's sure. And you think about what is he really doing? He's saying that I see you, that yep. you're valued, that you're important, that you're noticed. So I think yep. of that principle about giving credit when due. What are your thoughts?
Well, the thing that's fascinating about your story about your chaplain is that will only be public if the person chooses to make it public. And so it's a very, very respectful of people's preferences about how they're recognized, right? Some people love to have the thank you or the acknowledgement in the daily stand-up meeting, right? They love being recognized in front of others. Other people, and I think of my wife, she does not want to ever be noticed. She wants to be in the back row. And if you want to win her affection, you praise her in private on the QT. And there are people in both camps, and it's not right or wrong. So we need to be attentive to how we deliver that credit. But people want to know.
But that's really good. I loved your example that you used with your wife, because in that scenario, if you have someone that you're leading that has that similar characteristic that your wife has, well, as you're developing a relationship, you're going to get to know that about her. Yeah. And so you're going to be respectful in that regard. Really great example. The third of the four.
Just one more thing that I think is a really important point to make, Skip. And, you know, I ran into this once where my boss came and said, so, you know, that report that you submitted to me 3 months ago. And he started giving me some feedback. Oh, 3 months ago, might as well have been in the middle of the ice ages. You know, world has moved on. And so when we're doing this, when we're trying to give credit, we do need to pay attention to make it current, right? That yeah, this is not point. Something that you know, that was weeks ago, right? That patient has left. They've recovered or not, or, you know, whatever, you know. But
that's a really good point. It's got to be current for it to be meaningful. If anything, it could actually backfire on you if it's late. Right?
Yeah, no kidding.
So yeah. the third foundation, and we're kind of flying high on these, but there's so many ways that you can practice these. But this is one that I know I've told you, Hugh, many times. I know it sounds like hyperbole, but there's almost a day that doesn't go by that this one doesn't. I don't interact with this one. And this one is tell people in advance about changes that will affect them. Tell people in advance about changes that will affect them. For me, many times it's driving down the road and I may interact with one of our CEOs or one of our directors, and I may want to let them know, hey, the so-and-so is going to happen, or I'm going to be coming over to visit you next week, or whatever it may be. And the reaction is always interesting. It's always, oh, thanks, Skip. I'm so glad you let me know that. They don't like being surprised.
That's right. Yeah, because think about it. who likes surprises except on their birthdays, right? And sometimes not even that. And I remember, that another story about me messing up with my wife. I gave her a surprise birthday party. My wife does not like surprises. That was she still loves me, but it wasn't a good choice.
Yeah, so, people don't like being caught off guard.
Do yeah, they? That's right. That's right. I want to tell you a story, Skip, about a company I was running, and we were really cash strapped. And so we made a point of telling people in the company that we were in some difficulty. And we could tell them what we were doing about it and what they were likely to see because of the situation. We're going to see our inventory go down in the next little while because we don't have the cash to provide it. But these are the steps we're taking. And the reaction we got from our staff was amazing. Nobody left. People got inventive and creative about using the resources they had. And so we started getting better utilization of the material that we had because people were paying attention to it. But if we had not told them, they would have figured it out, right? They would have seen the delivery trucks coming with less material. They would have seen the shelves getting barer. And if we hadn't told them, what was going to happen is they were going to make up a story. And the story they made up would probably have been worse than the reality.
Yeah. Great point. That's a great story because that happens often, right? People do yeah. make up stories. They do jump to conclusions. The other one that comes to my mind as you were telling that story was the best example that I've ever seen of this was our CEO, Jason Little, during the pandemic. He was always in front of communication, everything from masks that were being flown over from China to different precautions that were being put in place or ways that we were protecting our team members, on and on and on. And I just thought, what an absolute amazing example of that. So love yeah. that. Love that foundational principle.
I was just going to say, one of the things that you see, and some of your listeners may be in union environments, a lot of you're not within Baptist, but other listeners might be. And a lot of the union contracts have notice provisions. And that's what they're getting at, right? Is just let us know ahead of time. Be respectful. Let us know ahead of time. And, union contracts are usually there because managers haven't been doing their job well. And the contracts reflect that, saying, respect us. Let us know.
So the final foundations for good relations is, it says, make best use of each person's ability. And what automatically comes to my mind are these hidden talents that so many of our team members have that we don't know about until we get to know them.
Me a great story about one of your staff that does video editing for you.
Well, yeah, she's a young lady that she's a nurse, and her husband do a lot of GoPro and cameras as they ride motorcycles. And she does editing on our videos on our YouTube channel. But I wouldn't have known that without getting to know her, right? We have other team members that are part of my team, and their skills range from everything from classical guitarists to, doing Broadway musicals. And I'm thinking, it's just amazing the talent that's walking around in our companies. And many times, how could we leverage that talent for our own company?
So if we think about Well, how do we turn that into practice? I think one of the things that, you know, here's the thing for, you know, any of your listeners to do is next time you're having a conversation with somebody, ask them, what did they do before they started working for Baptist or whatever company you're in for your listeners? And let them tell you. I discovered once that I had a guy who had done the maintenance for a squadron of fighters in his home country. Okay, so he's got some serious mechanical chops. And I wanted to take advantage of that. I found another guy who had been, he was working on our packaging line. And he was working there because his language skills weren't great yet in terms of his English language skills. But I found out that he had been part of the purchasing. He'd led the purchasing operation for a 3,500 person company.
Wow.
In his home country. That's serious skill, right?
Oh, it is.
If I wanted to get somebody to analyze some options, he could do that for me.
And it's really good.
So it's have the conversation. What did you do before here?
That's really good. And you know, and we're even talking about skills outside of maybe their normal job, but but even, you know, the team dynamics, right? When you're looking at a team, you've got to be looking at the dynamics within that team and what skills, yes, that you need to continue to build. But every single one of those people on that team, as JR would teach us, they're unique individuals, and they've got to be treated as unique individuals. We can't treat everybody the same. And that's why the leadership position, and JR talks about this, is so difficult, right? It's dealing with what we call a socio-technical system. If everything was just robots, to be honest with you, it'd be a lot easier, right? But we're dealing with people, and people will always be more complex than a human being. And here's the other thing, Hugh, that's kind of obvious, but whatever people are today, tomorrow and next year and 5 years from now, they're going to be different.
Yep.
You know, I can think of myself. How am I different today versus 32 years ago when I started my career? Just completely different, right? So someone's going to have to know me as an individual and know me as I'm changing and evolving.
Yep. Yep, for sure. So I heard a really interesting thing in terms of this whole make best use of each person's ability. There's a little bit of research that suggested that as long as somebody was doing stuff they absolutely loved 5% of the time, that's like 2 hours a week, it significantly improves their job satisfaction. So
wow.
You start thinking about what that means. It means that if you discover that your nurse loves this video editing and she can spend 2 hours a week at it, you don't have to change your whole job. You just need to give her a little bit of room to play in that sphere that she loves.
And, that's good.
That's good.
Because people want enjoyment of work, right? They want purpose.
Oh, yeah.
And so that's really good. Well, Hugh, this has been really, really good. I know this is just the first of a four-part series. On part two in the next series, we'll be talking about how do we determine the objective when we have a person problem. Many times people kind of react and they shoot from the hip and they're responding emotionally. And I understand that, but it's not the most respectful thing to do. And so how do we determine the objective, or the way I like to say, probably as a result of my kata thinking, is what is it are we trying to achieve?
Yep.
And we're going to talk about that in the next series. But Hugh, this has been great. I'm really looking forward to getting into this series. And hopefully this is valuable to our listeners, but we are really wanting to lean into this TWI job relations and how do we operationalize respect for every individual. So Hugh, my friend, thank you so much. We'll talk on the next series, and I really appreciate you spending a little time with me today.
It's been so much fun, Skip. Looking forward to it.